in racing. Safety comes first, and today safety is more important than ever. Introducing Sanicor by Silverthorne Industries, the safe and powerful way to stay protected. Sanicor offers hand sanitizer and bottles are convenient single-use packs. Safe, powerful, Sanicor.
It's time for an inside look at the most powerful motorsport on the planet. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Hey everybody, how's it going? Joe Costello here, WFO, starting off another week. That's right, what are we going to do this week? I have no idea. I do know that our WFO Radio Fantasy League champion is going to get his name on that trophy back there. Congratulations to Andrew, a.k.a. Hockey Kid, who's been a listener for over half of his life, winning our Fantasy League championship. So many great things going on, and we're going to speak with a lot of NHRA champions over the next couple of weeks. I want to remind everybody that our show just doesn't end. It just goes right through the off season, and we have all kinds of great stuff going on that we will be talking about. And some of these shows, like I know we got some happy hours coming up that you are going to love, and they are going to be audience-centric also. You guys are going to be what we focus on. Ideas, thoughts, kick around some things during the off season, the winter break, if you will. It's going to be a bit extended until March, where we get back to the Camping World Drag Racing Series season. But what it does is it gives us a lot of space to come up with interesting stuff and do some fun things. NHRA's Alan Reinhart going to be joining us, keep going through the winter break and have a whole lot of fun. Now, I do want to tell you about our great sponsors, the people who make it possible. For instance, you just heard about Silverthorne Industries in Sanicor. I'm getting reports and feedback from a lot of our listeners about the Sanicor hand sanitizer. It's obviously over 80% alcohol. It's cold and flu season coming. You definitely want to keep everybody safe and your family. Go to their website, SanicorUSA.com, and check them out. They've got all kinds of great bundles and packets, whether you need gallons for your shop or whether you just need a couple of little hand packets for your point of purchase, wherever it is, if you've got a shop or a store. Check them out, SanicorUSA.com. Also, Total Seal Piston Rings, the leader in ring seal technology, just dropped a brand new edition of Hidden Horsepower, the Total Seal podcast. This one featuring Judson Massengill from samtech.edu. And it's a really great episode because Judd talks about how he came up with the school, but then they give a lot of information about machining and honing and torque plates and all kinds of profilometers and why they're important, his thoughts on the future of machining and the kids who come through the class. It's really great. But my favorite stuff is where he talks about how his wife, Linda, and he met each other. And it's going to be every drag racer's dream story. So you definitely want to check that out, totalseal.com. And of course, while you're there, check out the new website and you know how and where you might get the next order of piston rings that you guys need. Check them out. And big thanks to Total Seal. And we got a new episode we're working on here today. I'm not going to reveal who it is, but you're going to love it. It's going to be great. And speaking of samtech.edu, for you next generation machinists, they're a great place to get started. When you hear Judd on the Hidden Horsepower podcast, you'll see why. And they're having fun. They're working on cars all through the night, but also instilling that foundational knowledge that the next generation of crew chiefs, crew members, machinists, CNC programmers, motorsport EFI tuners need. They're approved to train veterans under the GI Bill. Go to samtech.edu. Find out. And Judd actually, you know, he says, you know, give me a call and you can set up a tour, all kinds of great stuff. Go to samtech.edu. Also, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Remember that November 20th date? That's canceled. I had said to a lot of people, like, November 20th, that's canceled. Next one going to be next year. But you can still, this is the best gift for the holidays, in my opinion. It's the best gift for the holidays because it's a great experience. It's a lifelong memory. And for the adrenaline junkie in your family, they're going to love it. And if you're a drag racing fan, you can use this opportunity. Not that, you know, how underhanded is that, right? You're using your gift to a loved one so that they understand your hobby and addiction a little bit more. So when you want to spend a little money on parts to go fast and compete, they'll be a little more understanding, right? Yes. Definitely. Isn't that what gift giving is all about? Of course it is. Go to frankhawley.com to find out more information. Check it out. Also, Marvin Rodak, rodakscoffeeandgrills.com, holiday packs. Here's what's going to happen. You're all going to be going through a what do I get somebody for Christmas and the holidays panic moment. And I've got you covered. Just call Marvin, 817-924-6821. Ask for the WFO holiday packs. It's a pound of coffee. It's a bag of coffee. It's a bottle of hot sauce and a bottle of spice rub. And this is what I've been doing for all my great friends over the years. They get that. It lasts them well into February. They love it. It's a great experience. And it's easy. You just call Marvin, and he sends it out to see what's up. And if maybe they like Nitrofish stuff, too. That works for me, Nitrofish Racing. And don't forget to use the promo code WFO20. All right, wait on Alan Reinhardt, who's headed to the shop. He'll be on momentarily, but it does give me an opportunity. You know, this is Veterans Week in the United States of America, and I want to say happy birthday to all of you out there who have served or have family members that serve in the United States Marine Corps. That's right. 245 years. And to my dad, who was out there watching, happy birthday, Dad. Very exciting. And so proud. Veterans Day, of course, tomorrow. Maybe you're watching or listening on WFO Radio Podcast tomorrow. And happy Veterans Day to all the veterans out there. Can't be overstated that without what you have done, your sacrifice, your continued sacrifice and service, we cannot be assured that going forward, this great nation that is the United States of America will continue. But as long as we have got young people, strong young people, both mentally and physically, joining our armed services, serving our country, becoming veterans, that our country will continue on into the future. And I love it. And I appreciate it. And I am thankful for all you have done. Now, we got Lucas Oil champions all crowned. We got Camping World champions all crowned. We spoke with Matt Hagen last week. And Hagen was fired up, honestly. But I will tell you this. I like to wait for the championship to sink in. Inevitably, people will say, oh, it hasn't sunk in yet. It hasn't sunk in. And that makes perfect sense. You've just won your third championship or otherwise, like, oh, I just can't believe it. And so what we're going to do is we're going to let a little bit of breathing time occur. And that way we will get people, if nothing else, they will not say, it hasn't sunk in yet. All right, let's see what some people have up there. We're waiting on Alan Reinhardt, by the way. Alan Reinhardt is heading to the shop. I had some interesting things. Oh, look at this. Joey Rocket, thank you for your service. Semper Fi, sir. A West Coast Marine. A Hollywood Marine. Excellent. Class of 1981. Thank you very much. Let's see what everybody else is out there. One of the best things I did was I went to the United States Marine Corps drill instructor reunion with my father. And so I got to go to Parris Island. I got to see inside the drill instructor school. I got to see like generation after generation of Marine Corps drill instructors like my father and how they all interacted together and just had some amazing memories there. In fact, one gentleman pulled me over and he said, son, made me feel great because I feel old already. And he's like, you look at all these men here and you might see old gentlemen or older gentlemen, but one thing I can tell you is that every single one of these men at some point in their life was a badass. And I was like, I believe it. It was a great, great occurrence. All right, let's see what Frankie says. Frankie goes to Hollywood. Hey, Joe and Alan, you're both the best. Frank, cheers from Frankie. Frankie from Paris. Paris where? Paris, France? No, I don't think so. Thank you, Frankie. Alan will be here in a second. Art Ginsburg, it was the It's So Good Chef passed in 2012. Where's that coming from? That's interesting. Hello, everyone, says Phil. Phil, hello to you. Oh, look at that. Renee Ferraro. Hey, Joe. I was just talking about Bailey Ferraro last week, I guess. This is Renee, his ma, and she's out there. And really good bracket racers coming out of South Florida still. We don't get to race a whole lot because it rains all the time, but we got great bracket race. What's up, Renee? Say hi to Mike. Say hi to the boys. What's up, brother? Don't know who that is, but let's see. Thanks to all my battle buddies that served and are the ones that gave it all. We are the 2%. Thank you so much, sir. Wish I knew who that was. Maybe it is even my dad. Thanks, Joe. Nice job. And Joey Rocket, of course. Joey out there on the starting line. And look at that. I see him. He's getting queued up. He's getting ready. Give him a couple more seconds to get all set up. And here he is. Ladies and gentlemen, the voice of the National Hot Rod Association, Mr. Alan Reinhardt, joins us now. AR.
Hey, Joe. Sorry I was a little bit late. Just running late this morning. Got up, was doing some stuff at the house and running around. And, oh, look at the time. I got to go. So
that's all right.
Sorry. Party.
you were the guy in the Lamborghini driving through the 4 feet of water that I tweeted out yesterday. Did you see that one?
I did, yes. And let me tell you, if I had a Lamborghini, I do not believe I'd be driving it through 4 feet of water. I think I think that'd be a good day for my Dodge Ram 4x4.
Well, exactly. And if you didn't see it, it's out on my Twitter account. It's got over 24 hours. It's got 320,000 views. It's my second viral video ever. I'm very proud of it. But it's also sad because when you see someone destroying a supercar, driving underwater with it, literally going over the top of the car, it makes you cry inside as a car person. Like, I saw that. And the story is, it was a local weatherman had it on in the background. And he's talking, as you can see, there's some vehicles that are having trouble getting through the water. It's like, no, you moron, that's a Lamborghini. And you need to be talking about this fool that's out there doing that. And obviously, I put it out there. But yeah, so you weren't late for that reason. But it's okay, because the season is now. We are officially in the winter break. You guys got the last Lucas Oil Series race in this past weekend.
I'm doing a podcast. I'll be done in a little bit. I'm sorry, my landlord just came over.
You can bring him on. We could try to work him for less rent if you'd like. I'll talk to him.
No, that's okay.
All right.
I just got to cut a piece of metal. Hang on one second.
There he goes. Alan Reinhardt.
Just got one cut.
He's just like, listen.
You just have one cut?
It's the Delaware Destroyers. It's like...
I'm doing a podcast. How many do you have?
I'm doing a podcast. He's like, I need to do something. I'm doing a podcast here. Can't you see I'm doing a podcast here? Okay, I'll do it. Right? It's like the landlord lady in One Bourbon, One Scotch, One Beer. Isn't that it? All right. Here he is. He's back. We heard you get a little aggressive with the landlord, Alan. I got to tell you.
No. Nothing like that.
All right.
He just he called me about cutting something, and I said, come see me when I get there, and then... He's a wonderful guy, but he's also good. Well, you know, let me tell you about the story. And it's like, no, I don't have time for this.
We all have. I think there are people who think that I'm that guy. You know, they don't tell me to my face, but I'm that guy. You know, I got a story or two. So how'd it go this past weekend out there in Vegas as we put together officially and in conclusion the 2020 NHRA season?
It went well, aside from just like almost every other race we've had this year. We've had to deal with some weather issues. The Thursday, Friday was great. The forecast was that there was going to be some weather coming in over the weekends that was not very friendly. So Mike made the decision that we ran first round of a bunch of stuff on Friday night, and we're going to try to run to conclusion on Saturday. Didn't quite happen because we just got too cold. I mean, that was it. The racetrack just got so cold. And so we had to go in Sunday morning and finish it up, three and a half hours on Sunday morning and got it all done. But we did get it done. So that's the important thing. All of the champions have been crowned, and now we can move on to the next thing. But it was a good race. It was, a lot of fun, a lot of really good racing. And, as it always is at that, because so many people come from all over the country that have an interest in whatever many different things. You know, it's funny, car go down the racetrack and my phone would buzz and it's like, hey, that makes me the Division II Super Street champ. And I go, okay. And, trying to stay on top of all that stuff is difficult, but it was a good race. It was a good weekend. Nothing stupid happened, and we got done with it. So.
That is great, and that's all we can ask. As far as champions that were crowned that we didn't know already going into last week, and forgive me, we've been battling Tropical Storm Etta, so I was unable to, watch any feeds or anything like that, but just give me any big moments that may have gone down.
Well, Brad Johnson went all the way to the final round at Top Dragster, and that was from the Sports Nationals that got winded out 2 weeks before that we finished up. He's in the final round against Paul Nero, and if he wins, he's the champ. And he comes out on the wrong side of just a really good race, double breakout. So Anthony Bertozzi will have the number one on the side of his car next year. Jody Lang locked up the championship in stock after so many years of, being so close so many times. He was finally able to seal the deal there. And then we got the Super Gas wrapped up as well. So, all is it's in the books now. We can move on. Brian Pressler, he did a pretty good 2-year run. He was number two last year in Super Comp and won the Super Gas Championship this year. And that ain't a bad 48 months.
Absolutely not. And it's exciting. And we're going to have all of our Lucas Oil Series champions on. And last year, this is part of WFO. We always have the champs on and we let them think about it. And I'm already getting hits about the Jody Lang one. Jody is a guy that I talk to occasionally in the lanes, hardcore racer, excellent racer, to be a world champ. Like, that is it's a nice addition to the resume.
Yeah, and I guess I figured out what he'd been waiting for because, I've done the Division VI banquet the last, 4, 5, or 6 years now. And Jody never comes to the banquet. He's just not a proud guy. He's not a public speaking guy. He's not a guy that wants to be, you know, in the spotlight. And so I think he was just waiting until he didn't have to make speech. I think that was it. Yeah. Now, this being the year when it's like, hey, here's the trophy, here's the check, have a nice day, and you don't have to do anything else. You don't have to dress up. You don't have to. I think that's what he was waiting for. So he finally achieved that.
I think that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, one thing about the, you know, we call them sportsman racers, Lucas Oil Series racers. You get all these great characters, but they're not necessarily searching for spotlight. They're not. That's not why they're racing. They're racing because they love it. They're racing because it's a challenge. They want to challenge themselves. And with that, sometimes comes some spotlight. But when we do our attention in the pit show, Nikki and I are going around. Sometimes we'll talk to racers, and they're not into it. They don't want to know. We're going to feature you and your car. And, they're not into it. They want to race, and they're focused on racing. And you can't blame people like that. That's not why they're into it. But I also wish they would give us something, because they're going to make more fans. People like that like to see people like that. Like, man, that's a hardcore dude. He's not in it for any other reason than challenging himself and turning on wind lights.
Well, it's interesting to me, you know, the number of people I've run across during the years who, you know, you chit-chat with a guy, you have a beer with a guy, and let me tell you a story. I got this greatest thing. Let me tell you a joke about this deal. Let me tell you, everybody turn the camera on. We're here to talk to Joe. Hi, I'm Joe.
Yes.
It's like, dude, you know, what happened to, you know, I've been racing since I was a kid. My dad brought me, he turned the camera on and goes, I'm Joe. And, you know, some people, that's out of their comfort zone. And, you know, there's certainly nothing wrong with that. That's just the way some people are wired. But there's a number of guys out there that it just, if they could share that personality, I think people would love to see that, you know, because we've talked about for years. I am a big believer that people don't go to the races to watch cars race. They go to the races to watch people race. And, you know, letting somebody know you, letting somebody know who you are and what you're all about, will give them a chance to root for you and a chance to watch for you and a chance to get interested when you're out there on the racetrack. And I think that's a big part of it.
Absolutely. And it's a good business decision, too, because these cars cost money. And if you could sell a couple of T-shirts and, you know, get a little fan base, if it's 100 people, if it's 200 people over the years that follow you, that love you in Stock Eliminator, that's 200 people that are going to be watching stock because of you. And when you raise somebody else, they're rooting for you. The other person has done the same job. They got 100 or 200 people that are watching them. And that lifts everybody. And if you don't put anything into that, well, you know, if the tree in the woods falls, does it make a sound? That you want to have fans that care. And I love it. Now, we're going to try to get Jody on here and get to the bottom of that. And the bucket hat. Like, why? Why a bucket hat? There's so many other styles of hats.
Ask him. I don't know.
No, nor do I. We got one of our users out there saying Aaron Stanfield won the D4 Top Dragster Championship. What a season for that kid.
He did.
What a season.
Yeah. My next national dragster column coming out, I spotlighted a couple of people that had really good seasons, even in the mix of all of this. And he was my number one guy for everything he accomplished this year, including that Top Dragster Championship.
And that's what we need. We need young blood. Young blood coming into the sport. We just saw over the weekend, NASCAR, Chase Elliott, legacy name, goes on, becomes a champ, and it's the turning of the page. It's like, here we are, next generation has arrived, going on to carry the sport, and the names of the past are still involved, and you see Bill Elliott, and he's happy, proud papa, and I couldn't help but think about our sport, and guys like Aaron Stanfield and Greg Stanfield and that generational change that's happening in pro stock and all these young, as bummer as it is that Jason and Jag are not going to chase full-time points anymore, I can't wait to see Aaron Stanfield and Troy Coughlin and Mason McGahey and Kid Chaos like forming their own rivalries and, you know, battling it out for the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, and, you know, it's inevitable. You know, I've been around this quite a bit, a little bit longer than you have, and, you know, watching people come in, and, you know, there's always going to be somebody retiring. There's always going to be somebody new coming in, and there's always going to be a transition period there. You know, there will always be the fan that, you know, well, Kenny Bernstein was my guy, and he retired, and so, you know, I don't care about drag racing anymore. And it's like, well, hang out a little bit. You know, watch some of the new people. Watch some of the people coming up. You know, Gary Selzy came in, and a lot of people are like, no idea who Gary Sells is, unless you race alcohol cars on the West Coast. But within a year, he had a heck of a following. Now, he was a big personality. He was very outgoing, and he did a lot to promote, you know, his team and the sport and everything else, and that certainly helps. But then, you know, when he leaves, and it's like, oh, nobody will ever fill Gary's shoes. Well, yes, they will. You know, the next guy comes along, and it's a continuation as the sport moves on, just like anything else. You know, there will always be people that think Joe Montana is the greatest quarterback ever. Well, you know, Tom Brady ain't bad, and Drew Brees ain't bad. And when those guys decide to hang up the helmet and move on, there will be somebody else that comes out, becomes the next big superstar. So, you know, it's just a continuing, you know, whoever your person is in your generation, especially if they're your age range or if they're somebody that you watched through college and then watched in the pros, you know, when they go away, it feels like a big part of the sport's going away, but it's not. It's just the next generation. You know, you're making room for the next generation.
And, you have the breakup driver, right? It makes perfect sense that your favorite driver ever just retired, that the next person is not going to be like, you're never going to recreate that feeling. It was a feeling from a time, but keep your mind open. You never know what's going to happen down the road. One of these kids is going to do something awesome, you know, double O when they need it, win the race, perfect run, something like that. And you're like, man, I like that kid. Say something cool and interesting. You just got to keep an open mind and see where it all goes. All right, we're getting a couple questions for you out there, Alan, and just like different stuff. Maybe you got it, maybe you don't. But like Scott wants to know the two qualifier format for next year. Like, is that at every race, two qualifying format for every race? And I'm under the impression that that is not the case.
It is being discussed.
Okay.
Let's put it that way. There are a few of the track operators that lean very heavily towards their Friday night show and what they're doing there. You know, there are a lot of the teams that really like the two qualifier and go racing format because it saves them a ton of money and time if you're a businessman. You know, they'd be able to work on Friday, fly in Friday night, and then race. So there's a lot of discussion going on right now, and I think we're all kind of waiting to see.
How do you think that went? You know, from four qualifying sessions to two, and we know why, and two is less than four, and so maybe you're getting less sport. I have been very against cutting back the sport. Bobby Bennett from Competition Plus, who is a great friend, he and I are always going back about this because I just don't see... I think if you go from 24 or 23 down to 16 or 18, I think you've diminished the value of the sport. But that doesn't necessarily apply to qualifying sessions, because by limiting qualifying sessions, you're saving the teams a lot of money. In the case that you just gave, you still have all that value in terms of the sport, 23 or 24 events. But also, at least my anecdotal observation was that the racing might have been better. Because the best of the best, the cream isn't given so much time to rise to the top. And those little teams can maybe figure out how to beat one of them in the third run down. Fifth run down, it's going to be a lot harder.
Well, it definitely, shuffled up the ladder for some of the first round stuff because of just exactly that. You know, you go out in the first run and you don't get down. Now you've got to come back in the second run and be conservative. You know, you can't go out there and try to shoot for a number one or two spot. You just got to end up getting in the field and finding some kind of a baseline. So that's why we ended up with a lot of the marquee guys racing each other in the first round. And that's also why we ended up a lot with, you know, some of the less traveled teams, let's say less funded teams, ending up being in the number five or six qualifying spot, right? They come out, they make a good run, and okay, let's go. We've got something we can work with now. So I think it definitely made for some more exciting Sundays. And it's, you know, it's a very difficult decision to make. I'm glad that I'm not the one guy that has to make it. But, you know, I know a lot of the teams liked it. And again, it was a big money-saving thing. I know for a fact a couple of the teams that kind of renegotiated a little bit on the sponsor side. Going, hey, look, you know, we're not spending as much money. And we realize things are tough all over. So we'll give the sponsor a little bit of a break going forward because our budget's not going to be as big. And at this point, you know, anything you can do to help your sponsor and build loyalty is going to be a good thing to do. So now, if they say, okay, we got to go back and do all this, now what do you do? You know, now do I eat the cost of those extra runs? And I also understand, and I talked to a track operator the other day who was going to remain nameless, but a guy who's a pretty well-known promoter that said Friday night is a big deal for them. You know, having fans come in, having stuff happen, that's a big thing. And to give up that, would be a tremendous financial blow to his business. And so he is very strongly pushing to get Friday night qualifying, at least at his track. So again, now what? You know, if you've got different entities that have different goals that want different things, somebody's going to have to sit down and sort all this out.
Yes, very challenging. I think about Gainesville, and Friday is, I don't know if it's our biggest Friday on the tour, but it's huge. That's a big day. Like Florida, you got retirees, you got people out there. Like, you know, me and my dad would just go, and you have a packed house on Friday at the Gator Nationals. You know, maybe one run, maybe something. And again, I'm glad I'm with you. I'm glad that that decision ultimately doesn't fall upon me. Maybe three is a nice meet in the middle. You still save some money on runs. You still have a big Friday night thing, Friday afternoon thing. I know another problem we always have is that people are getting to the track at like 9 in the morning, and by the time the second session rolls around, they're already exhausted and burnt out and leaving. And you can't tell them, like, hey, wait till mid-afternoon to get to the racetrack. They want to come walk around, but after the first session, they bust out. Maybe that solves that problem. But I'm excited, though, to see how we tackle it. And ultimately, some money is going to be saved, and we know that 2021 is still a year where there's people are going to be in financial trauma. Maybe not distress anymore, but trauma. It's not just going to come back to normal immediately. So anything we can do to save people a little money, teams especially, that's probably good.
It is. And, you know, 2021 also, you know, nobody knows for sure, right? Are we going to be able to pack the stadiums? Are we only going to be late about 50%? You know, in Las Vegas this past weekend at the Nationals, 10% capacity for fans was all that they were allowed. That's not a financial plan that's going to keep anybody going forward. So you need to figure out, you know, how are we going to make this work? How are we going to make this happen? And I think this year was a classic example where everybody was pitching it, right? We wanted to get back on track. Everybody knew that, okay, look, this isn't going to be a financial bonanza for us, but it's important for the sport. It's important for the sponsors at our racetrack. It's important for our local community to be getting back to business, so to speak. And so a lot of the track operators were willing to take a financial hit because they were, you know, the better, they were looking at the bigger picture. You know, they're doing something for the good of the future going forward. But how long do you sustain that? How long can you do that? You know, when you look at a place like Las Vegas Motor Speedway and you think 10% capacity is all that you're allowed in the stands. You know, Bruton is a really smart businessman, and he didn't get where he is by being a dumb businessman. And he understands that we need to do this, right? It's good for the state of Nevada because it was the first time in the state of Nevada that fans had been allowed at any sporting event. Good for Nevada. It's good for drag racing. There's nothing wrong with putting your stadium in that spotlight. It's certainly good for the sponsors at his stadium. That doesn't mean he can keep doing it forever and ever. So somehow we got to get all this figured out. And again, there's just so much stuff going on right now. I'm really glad that I'm not the one guy that has to make the decision, because it's a classic case. You know, not everybody's going to agree with you no matter what. You're going to get second guessed until the end of time. But, you know, that's why you got to suck it up and make those decisions. That's why, you know, you put people in those positions. You make the best call you can, and you hope that it's the best one.
Leadership is challenging, and across the board, like, we're always very tough on leadership, but the facts may change too. You make the call and then the facts change. Like, for instance, like right now, talking pandemic, numbers around the country skyrocketing, going up in different places. It's kind of rolling like we knew it would, but then we get that news that maybe there's going to be a vaccine and maybe it's going to be 90%, and boy, wouldn't that just change the way everything is handled. So we just gotta hope and ride it out. All right, next question. This one comes from Mitchell. It's more of a commentary. Like, Erica Enders winning a fifth championship in 2021, since Jag and Jason and Bo and others are retiring, I do think that she's maybe not an odds-on favorite, because in the gambling world, odds-on means almost automatic. I wouldn't call any drag racing thing odds-on, but Erica, a chance to win number five, assuming they go for that, looks pretty good.
She's got a good program right now. There's no doubt about it. You know, that looking at the performance of the KB cars, or the elite cars, is going to make KB go back to work. You know, I don't think there's any question that the McGahey guys are certainly burning midnight dino fuel down there, trying to get to where they want to be. You know, when you put the target on your back, it's not always easy. You know, she's won back-to-back championships twice now. And, you know, I think she comes into the season as the favorite until somebody else shows me that not only their car can run with her, but they as a driver can run with her because she's the whole package.
Yeah, that is a fact. Bankshot saying, hoping fast Jack gets sponsorship soon. Saw he started elevator repair again. Jack Beckman is making a social media event about his elevator repair gig. And I like it because I'm interested. We got John Taylor, who races in Top Sportsman, and Super Gas, who is big in the elevator business. I joked, Brian Lones yelled at me once because I was talking about elevators as an announcer. He's like, elevators are boring, man. I'm like, no, man, I think elevators are really cool. Beckman, elevator repair man. I think he's going to get something. That's just my vibe. I don't think it's just going to, you know, we're going to let a guy like Beckman go be an elevator repairman.
I hope you're right. But, you know, it's difficult out there. And you also, you know, if you are a sponsored procurement person for Don Schumacher Racing, okay, you come to me, okay? I'm Wild West Engineering. You want me to sponsor Jack Beckman? Let me hear your pitch. How many races next week or next year?
Oh, we're going to do we're going to get you for 8 races, Alan, because I know that that's within your means, but we're going to blow out those 8 races. We got a couple of other really big companies you're going to love being alongside. You're going to get all kinds of upside. ROI through the roof.
But what if we don't race in my home state?
Oh, well, then.
And right now you can guarantee that.
Yes, I get what you're saying.
You know, and there's just so much up in the air that makes it difficult to go out and sell a sponsorship right now. You know, from a person standpoint, Jack Beckman's as good as it gets. You know, from outgoing, friendly, you want a guy to come talk at your corporate function, you know, you want a guy to come to your company Christmas party, you want a guy to come and be funny and be entertaining and take pictures and play with everybody's kids. Jack is perfect for that. But you've got to make it make business sense. And at this point, it's just very difficult because there's so much stuff that's up in the air. You know, okay, Joe, here's the deal. My company is based in Spokane, Washington, okay? So when we go to the Spokane Nationals, I want to be able to bring my CEO, my CFO, all my guys out on Friday night to watch qualifying. Can I do that?
Yeah, probably not. We don't know. Maybe. We'll have to wait and see.
We don't know.
Yeah.
And so that just makes it a very, very difficult, a very difficult proposition. You know, that Don certainly been around this, and I'm talking to Don Schumacher a long time. He's got some really smart people working on it. It's just difficult because to go in, you know, 2 years ago, you could go in and go, hey, guys, look, here's the deal. We got a 24 race package. Here are the racetracks that we're going to race at. Here's the schedule where we're going to be. Now, obviously, if weather happens, something like that beyond our control, there might be some changes. But we're going to run 24 races. Our 24 races are going to be on television. This is the package you got. This is what we can do. This is what I can sell you right now. And you got something. Now it's like, well, we're hoping and we're thinking and we're looking at, and it's just difficult. But, you know, hopefully they'll be able to find something. I'd love to see him. I'd love to see Tommy back out there too. Tommy had just a tremendous season. 2 years they've been trying to find something full time to get Tony Schumacher back behind the wheel as well. It's just difficult out there. Right?
Yeah, it is. And it's not as if there's no magic switch that we can just flip. Like even the vaccine, like there's discussions with my friends, like, you know, well, would you take that vaccine? I'm like, yeah, well, if they said it was safe, I would take it. But that's me. There's a lot of people that don't. So, yeah, it's a challenge. Mark is out there mentioning SEMA, with Vegas race being when it is. And then SEMA following immediately after. I never get to go to the Pomona with the finals. It was awesome to have the finals come to me for once. But it's sad that SEMA was a no-go. Speaking of business opportunities that didn't happen this year, think of all those people that go to SEMA every year and all the deals and PRI, another example, things that will not happen because it's just not really smart to have that many people from that many places converging at once for any kind of giant social gathering.
And Nevada wouldn't let you do it anyway. I mean, you know, even if you went, we're not scared, we're a bunch of tough guys from all around, and we're going,
yeah,
Nevada wouldn't let you do it anyway. And so it's just one more, one more 2020, you know, caveat or asterisk. And, you know, obviously everybody's hoping that over the course of the next few months, if the vaccine pans out, that's wonderful. Things stabilize and we start growing back to where we were. But, you know, I don't believe anybody thinks that, you know, you're just going to flip a switch. For everybody that said, you know, I can't wait for 2021. I'd love for somebody to explain to me how January 1st, it's going to be click.
Right.
Okay, everything's good again. And it's just going to take some time, and we're all going to have to get through it. You know, it's not an easy time right now.
Well, it's like any wound, it takes time to heal. And our little human race, civilization, health deal, like we had a wound, and now it's going to take time to heal. It doesn't get back to normal. You break your leg, you don't go out there and run the second that the cast is off. You've got to, like, build up to it, stress test it. I have no doubt we'll get back. This guy's ready for us to get back. He says, virtual buds at Applebee's for us both. Yes.
I'm in.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
I got one for you. Try this on for size. I actually flew home on Sunday because we got finished about 11 o'clock Sunday morning, and there was an afternoon flight out. So I figured instead of staying the extra night, I could, you know, blast out of it and go. So at the Las Vegas airport, I'm sitting in a bar watching a cup race. And at 2:30 in the afternoon, the guy comes over and says, last call's in 15 minutes. I said, what?
Travesty.
He said, we close at 3 o'clock. And I said, you're kidding, right? And he said, there's only two more flights in this concourse that go out this afternoon. He said, the place will be deserted by 3:15. We close at 3 o'clock. Would you like something for last call? And I mean, I was stunned. But it's just because of that's the world we live in right now. Yes. And everybody is having to adjust.
Financial decision. Why should the bartender sit there when there's no people? It makes sense. Marvin Rodak is out there. He says, we need Friday night at Dallas race. Yeah, see, everybody wants some. I want some too.
Yeah, and I'm sure, I don't mean to sound like I'm speaking for them because I'm not, but I'm sure that the Capco guys would love to have Friday night at Dallas. Because it's home for them. They can come out. They can show off. They can bring more friends. They can bring customers. They probably don't care as much if they run Friday night at Atlanta, just to pick a race out of the sky.
Sure.
Because it's not home for them. There's no special thing about Friday night there for them. But everybody has one of those stories and one of those things. And, you know, it's a difficult thing to figure out right now. But I know, you know, there's discussion ongoing.
That's great. Everybody should follow Marvin Rodak's page since we put it up there. Spence wants to know, and I haven't heard this rumor, you know, rumors, right? There's just a million of them. Is there anything behind the Harley leaving pro stock motorcycle rumor? I hadn't even heard that one. Had you heard that one?
I saw something on a chat board yesterday. I don't know anything about it. I haven't reached out to either Eddie or Andrew, although I do have a reason to. That has nothing to do with that. So I'll probably reach out to one of them this week and just say, hey, and see what's going on.
Yes.
I saw it on a rumor post. I don't know anything about it.
The 50 cal, ask Eddie. Eddie, this is going to my collection of great shots of racers. You know, I got Eddie. They sent me that. Drew sent me that one. Like, Eddie doesn't send that kind of picture to me. But we've got a nice little growing collection of racers and drag racing personalities and weird compromising positions. And it's been fun. But that kind of rumor, I don't know. I think I might have heard something about it, whether true or not true or otherwise. But, yeah, we'll reach out and find out. But, man, that would be a bummer. I love the Harley-Davidsons in Pro Stock Motorcycle. I think they get a lot out of that program, too, certainly. Let's see. Monica says, always love Friday racing. A lot of tech schools go to the races on Friday. That's kind of an interesting angle to it, like all the YES program stuff that has been happening over the years. Thousands of kids coming out to see what this sport is all about. To squeeze that all into one day, that's going to be tough.
But can we even do that? You know, the YES program went away with COVID this year simply because you can't have 1,500 kids all in the same tent for a presentation. And so that all went away. The one thing that maybe good came out of that, and I guess, you know, this is going to be a time will tell, but the YES program has now gone virtual. There are a series of videos on site where we talk about the various things that we used to talk about at the racetrack. And that now is open to anybody because it used to be, you know, hey, if you lived somewhere in the Gainesville area, your school might come out to the races for the day. But if you lived in Spokane, we don't have a race there. You know, so you didn't have the opportunity as a high school student or as an early college student to come out to the races and experience that. In Denver, which was a classic example, because Denver, with their Race to Read program and the other stuff they do, the connection that they have in the community with the schools is tremendous. But we race there in the summer. And when school's out, trying to get a bunch of school kids together to do a school project ain't going to happen.
Nope.
But now, because it's virtual, anybody can go on and log online. You go to NHRA.com, just do a search for YES, which is Youth and Education Services. You should be able to click on, and there's actually a program. If you want to, you can sign up, do the deal, and when we come to your area, assuming you live somewhere in the vicinity, that you can actually get a ticket to come out to spend a day at the races. So, but there's a lot of interesting information on there. Bob Tasca has got a great video on there. Leah Pruitt's got a great video on there. We've got people from Ford. We've got people from Chrysler. We've got people from UTI, just talking about all the various things that are available out there. And, you know, I think one of the big selling points, and Bob touched on this very strongly, was think about the times we're in now. And I don't think a whole lot of people, you know, you don't have to go way deep into your Rolodex to know somebody whose job and livelihood is pretty solidly negatively affected by this. Bob Tasca said that they had dealerships that were closed because of COVID, except the service department, because that was essential. The service department was open. And if you can fix a modern day car, you're going to have a job, and you're going to have a job where you can make pretty decent money. I actually did a video at the local Ford dealer here where I took my 67 Mustang.
Ta-da!
Parked it right next to a 19 model and talked about, you know, hey, how do you fix this car versus how do you fix this car? And, you know, because I think a lot of people still look at, you know, they hear the word technician, but they're picturing the mechanic out behind the house under a tree somewhere, right? And the reality of it is, you know, you couldn't be any further apart. One of my little points was just like a real simple thing. If this car has an electrical problem, this is how you fix it.
Tesla.
All you need is a Tesla.
Right.
Because on this car, if there's something wrong electrically, you either have 12 volts or you don't have 12 volts. That's the whole electrical system. But you look at a 20 model car, and an electrical problem could be a sensor that's seeing 0.8 volts when it's supposed to see 1.2. Or it could be something getting 6.4 volts when it's supposed to get 7.5. And now the computer starts trying to compensate, and it throws the whole system out of whack. But you ain't fixing a whole lot of stuff like that with this. I mean, and, you know, a modern day technician is as far away from an old time, you know, grease monkey, as Bob Tasca said. You know, when his grandfather started, he was a grease monkey. And it's come so far. I mean, it would be like comparing, you know, a modern day fighter jet to a biplane. They are that different. But the ability to fix cars, and that's what the YES program is all about, is that there are opportunities out there. And let me tell you, if you're a senior master technician and you call Bob Tasca and say, I'm looking for a job, he says, what time can you start and where are you from? I will send a truck to move you here. They are that much in demand.
It makes sense. The cars in the United States of America are going to keep rolling. And I know that, you know, even Bob was all bullish on the switch to electric and the Cobra Jet and everything. But transportation is going to continue because of the way our country is set up. You're always going to have transportation. People are going to want to go. And I think it is great. A couple people referencing that on Competition Plus, who does shares this show. Some people might even be watching it on Competition Plus right now after our live air on WFO Radio. That there is, in fact, you know, rumor mill, multiple sources, including motorcycle-oriented drag racing website EatMyInc.com, have said that the Harley program has completed its contract and will not return. Vance and Hines has yet to return back. So, yeah, let's just track that story. That would be a big mistake, I think, as our great friends over there at Vance and Hines have done such a great job. But I guess we will follow the story. And the whole questions comments section of our chat right now is just loaded with rumors. Like, is Larry Dixon coming back? Is Schumacher going to run 8 cars? What are the purses going to be? And I can say, you know, is Bristol coming back? And these are questions that I really think we cannot answer.
I don't think with any certainty. The one there that I feel relatively confident about is I do believe that Bristol will be added to the schedule. That is not an official announcement by any means, but I do believe that Bristol is going to be added to the schedule. There was some kind of a conflict when the new schedule came out. It was important for NHRA to get the schedule out, but they were still trying to work out some details with the guys at Thunder Valley. But I do believe that Bristol will be added. You know, everything else is in wait and see mode. And, you know, you talk about, you know, the Harley thing in Vance and Hines. And I don't know if it's true or not. I certainly hope not. But it doesn't mean that Harley was unhappy with what they were doing. You know, Amelie loves Terry McMillan and has made no bones about that over the years. But when so many people driving so much less, not changing their oil and not servicing enough, their business was off to the point that they simply couldn't afford to continue doing it. They would love to come back again and sponsor Terry again and get back on track with that. But as of this moment, they simply couldn't afford to do it. And I don't know if that, you know, pure speculation on my part. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. But I've never heard anybody from Harley-Davidson at any level say they were unhappy, they were disappointed, they didn't think they were getting their money's worth out of Vance and Hines. We just live in a very changing economic time right now.
Yes, and fortunately for Vance and Hines, and this is just my perception, maybe it's not reality, but their brand is extremely significant independent of Harley-Davidson. Vance and Hines is a thing. And who knows what other brand may want to dive in and bring them on board to be elevated. I think about what Andrew and just everybody over there have done that has nothing to do with racing. Programs that they're working on, that flat track program that they worked on with Harley. I don't know. I think that there's I'll be interested to see how it all turns out. But I know Vance and Hines will probably be okay.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that Vance and Hines, you know, certainly going to survive the storm. We'll just have to wait and see what changes, what happens, and where they go from here.
And your comment about Amelie, one of the bummers down the stretch, and that's part of what we were saying about the nation healing, right? Like, everyone is going through this situation together. Today's the Marine Corps birthday, so I'll use a term, gung-ho. We need to all pull together and try our best to deal with it and get out of it and come out as best as we can so we can eventually, at some point, not just at 2021, but whenever it happens, maybe ramp up to normalcy, we can get there together. But it's not just going to happen, and we can't just sit back and expect things, because that won't work. But we'll see. Alan, any final thoughts? You know, we got limited results, limited storylines, heading into the winter break. You and I continue our conversations. Things always come up, news stories, etc. But we don't need to go as long as we normally do. I know you got things to do and accomplish. I see the rickshaw back there. Maybe you want to get it all shined up for a potential buyer.
Actually, that's one of my goals, is to not own the rickshaw by the time we go back racing. So, I am going to get it out. I'm going to get it spiffed up, get some pictures of it, and blast it out there and see if somebody would like to have a hot rod featured car in their personal collection. And very affordable.
Very affordable. Featured in Hot Rod Magazine, which is pretty significant, but not nearly as significant as owned by Alan Reinhardt of the National Hot Rod Association. Yeah, exactly. Look at that. He's going over to get the magazine. This is it. This can be yours.
I have a better copy of the magazine, but this is the one that I leave out that everybody looks at. That is Hot Rod Magazine, October 1970.
What's on the cover? Is that some sort of Pontiac engine on the cover?
And that is the rubber-tired rickshaw.
Wow.
Yes, in fact, that was the Pontiac Experimental Engine of the Future.
Wow. Engine of the Future. I wonder what they
didn't work out quite like they had dreamed it would.
What was the experimental engine of the future?
Yeah, well, sometimes an experiment goes the wrong way. You know, there's lots of times, hey, let's try this. Oh,
yeah, that one didn't work. But without those failed experiments, we wouldn't get to where we need to be. So anybody out there want to buy the rickshaw, you can reach out to me, Joe at WFOradio.com, or Alan at
announcer at NHRA.com.
And get this thing, man. Get it for a buddy and load it on there. And it's affordable, and you'll be at Hot Rod Magazine, man. Will you give them the magazine, Alan? Do they get?
Absolutely. It runs, it drives, and it will attract attention anywhere, I promise you.
What about the ladies? Does it attract attention from the ladies?
Wheelies.
There it is. Said and done. Alan, great job as usual. Thank you very much. You know, take care. 2020 in the books. You did a fantastic job. And, you know, I'm real proud of that. I've had some conversations with some of our coworkers this week, off air, of course. And just everybody did what they had to do to get to the finish line. And NHRA Camping World Drag Racing, new title sponsor, who'da thunk it, got to the finish line. And champions will be crowned, and Jody Lang, for instance, will be looking at that Stock Eliminator World Championship trophy in 5-10 years and think about only the good times, and that's what getting to the finish line was about.
Yep, and I think that's what it's going to take going forward. You know, everybody pitching in, everybody doing what they can do. You know, there's certainly going to be some pain and sacrifice along the way. There has been to this point already. But, you know, I'm a real big believer that, you know, tough times don't last, but tough people do. So you do what you got to do to get through this, and you know, be ready to go when we come out on the other side.
There you go. Alan, great job. Thank you so much. I really appreciate a whole regular season, racing season of here on WFO, and I look forward to our winter break conversations. I am going to try, now that hopefully hurricane season is over and all that, I'm going to try to get to work on my own race car so I can tell you some stories about my own projects.
Awesome. I look forward to that. Well, enjoy the week, and I will chat with you next Tuesday, if not before.
There you go. Go hit up your landlord and enjoy the stories.
I just got to cut some metal for him. It won't be a big deal.
There you go. Thanks, Alan. There he goes.
All right, Joe.
Alan Reinhart, voice of the NHRA, with us here on WFO Radio. Remember, you can hear this whole thing on the podcast, WFO Radio Podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud. Really, it's a listening experience. We got people listening all throughout the week. Thank you so much for sharing the show. Let's get some final comments in the comment section. And I'm going to tell you about a couple other things that are going on. Let it all go. I'll tell you, but you know, my viral video is going. You should definitely retweet it. It's pretty amazing. But let's see what a couple people say just to do it. Camping World sponsorship speaks plenty for the NHRA and its fans. I think that. I see tremendous upside. There's always someone who will look at something that I look at and see upside, and they will see downside. I don't know. You know, that's what makes people great. Because you're going to have all these different opinions about different subjects. Let's see. How about this one? I know a guy who can move it across country if need be. There you go. I want the rickshaw. Let's get that rickshaw sold, people. Come on. He needs the space. One of you guys should buy it just to keep the story going, to keep it in the WFO universe. Somebody's got to call Reinhart. Kick some tire. Let's do it. Mark Stockseth out there. Wasn't that the same Harley rumor that came out last year about this time? Yes, it was. The only thing that I entertain everything is because of, you know, COVID world. Anything is possible. This could be the last WFO radio show that you ever hear. Is that a rumor? Rumor mill. WFO show canceled. I haven't heard about it yet, but you never know. You never know. And so I just have to entertain everything. And you guys that watch this show on a regular basis or listen know that we're not a breaking news show. Sometimes it happens. More often than not, NHRA waits to break the news when we get off the air. Like, are they clear? They're off. Okay, break the news. And then we talk about it next week. That's why you do a weekly show. Nothing gets through. We just pick it up a little bit late. Scott says, great Ignition show, Joe. Thank you very much. Had a great time. Gio in Miami talking about the storm and the rain and that crazy Lamborghini guy driving through 4 feet of water here in South Florida. What a maniac. But 320,000 views in just over 24 hours. That was pretty good. Great show today. Thank you very much. Kev, that says, do you get to see the SpaceX launch? Did I get? Did it happen already? No, I did not see it. With the storm coming, I'd be surprised if they launched. Can I see SpaceX from my house? The answer is no. Too far. We're about 3.5 hours from there. Great show. Thank you so much. All right, let me scroll back to something from much earlier, because I want to give a shout out to a couple of young broadcasters who are friendly to this show. You know, they could be doing more, but that's fine. Scott says, introducing the Competition Plus Power Hour hosted by Slammin' Sam Smith, who is a friend of the show. I've been on Sam's podcast in the past. He's a good kid, smart, loves drag racing, passionate, and also the Monday morning racer, Lee Kraft, who is also in our chat very often, will have drag racing opinion along with personalities from the sports, such as the first guest episodes, Ron Capps and Gary Selzy. Jeff Arend will join the show as an inside NHRA insider to update us on inside pit details for the sport of drag racing. Live 9 p.m. on Tuesday, so it's a nighttime show. That is great. Good job. And Bobby Bennett has been very helpful over the years. Competition Plus has been helpful. And I'm a big believer in the rising tides lift all ships. People say boats, but I like to say ships. And, you know, these young guys, broadcasters coming in, doing the deal, expressing their opinions. That's great. Now, are their opinions going to be right? Like, I don't know. We're going to have to see. But if Bobby Bennett, who was helpful to me early on and still shares all of our stuff, you can find most of our WFO radio content on Competition Plus. Putting together something with Sam and Monday Morning Racer James Kraft, that is great. And that's what we need. But we need sport. We need the sport to continue. And right now, that is our big question. Is drag racing going anywhere? No, it's not going anywhere, but is it going to be healthy? Are we going to be able to continue our sponsorships? Are our audience going to continue to share the show and retweet the show and link their friends in and share WFO Radio, NHRA, Drag Racing, NASCAR, and Motorsports Podcast, our page, with their friends and loop them in? These are all the questions that need to be asked. There's more than enough content to talk about, but are people interested? And I think they are. Like what we've had this year with Silverthorne Industries and Santacore USA, we encourage you to hit them up on their website, santacoreusa.com, see their offerings, see what they've got going on. And you're going to need hand sanitizer. It's kind of part of the elements that keep it going. Why would you not want a brand that was developed and sold by drag racers and keep it in the community? I think you do. And a Christmas gift for your friends, frankhawley.com. Think about Frank and Lana and what they have done with the drag racing school, frankhawley.com. And go to the website and see, you know, one of their recent graduates talking about Tony Stewart. Tony, he could have tried to jump in a Top Fuel car and go down the racetrack. He could have tried to do that. No, he's not going to do that because he's not a silly person. He's a serious person. And you definitely want to hit frankhawley.com and maybe drive the Dragster Adventure, maybe get it as a gift for a friend. I'm going to throw the website up in the chat section right now so you all have the website, because now you can just click it and check it out. Go to Dragster Adventure right in the middle of the page and you will see. Also, like, I'm doing work for you guys right now. I'm doing work because the holidays are no joke. You got to come up with a great gift. You got to come up with something that people are going to love and appreciate. And the same, like, go to Amazon like I did for so many years and just, like, pick something and send it, that goes good for a year or two. Then people are onto it. You got to put a little thought into it. A great friend advised me a long time ago, listen to people, because I used to be a terrible gift getter, and then I improved. I'm not the best, but I improved. You have to listen to people talk throughout the year. And when they say something, like, I like her, I really wish I had this, then you remember it. You write it down, and that's what you get them for the holidays. And it works in other situations, too. Like Marvin Rodak and RodaksCoffeeAndGrills.com. You know, I'm always telling you about Rodaks. But the fact is that you're never going to go wrong with the coffee file in your life or the person who loves to grill hot sauces and spice rubs. You hit them in the winter, and then they've got something really cool to enjoy. And then when spring comes, they're going to be back out there, and they will really appreciate. So hit up Marvin, RodaksCoffeeAndGrills.com. Marvin doing a great job and is a big supporter of WFO Radio. And drag racer, you know how we love to support drag racers with our Rodaks. Definitely. And all you WFO Radio listeners sharing the show. Now, I've been totally overwhelmed with people asking me about happy hour. Are we going to have a happy hour? What's going to happen? How's this going to continue on? And it is definitely going to continue on. I want you to know that. Also, samtech.edu, the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. Start your education at full speed, samtech.edu. Listen to Hidden Horsepower, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, the Total Seal podcast. It features Judd Massengill from Samtech. And if that's not what puts you over the top, if you're a young person who is looking for a career or a parent who is looking for something reliable for your child, I don't know what will. What a great, great interaction. Speaking of Total Seal, TotalSeal.com. Check them out at TotalSeal.com. Also, WFO Radio face covering. Sent out a couple. This is very big, folks. This is literally how we're paying the rent now in our exclusive WFO studios with face coverings. Just $10, you get stickers, you get the face covering. Winter is coming, so it's going to keep your face nice and warm. These are face warmers, folks. It has nothing to do with the pandemic. Just warm your face in the winter. It's going to be great. $10. Go to WFOradio.com, click the WFO store. You'll see all of our sponsors there, and get yourself a face covering. Do it right now so I can go after the show and send a bunch out. And maybe you want to send a self-addressed stamped envelope to Castello Media /WFO Stickers, P.O. Box 848-353, Pembroke Pines, Florida 33084. Might get a little wet on its way, but I'll send you back some stickers for free. Self-addressed stamped envelope, of course. All right, let's see some final comments. Like, what does this say? You need a WFO t-shirt and mask for the holidays. Everybody does. Everybody does. Like, what do you get the WFO Radio fan for the holidays? The answer is you go to NitroFishRacing.com, you use the promo code WFO20, and you get both at a 20% off discount. Pretty amazing. Monica says the face coverings are great. All right, final comments, and then we're out. Yeah, this is the kind of year that, you know, now it's the winter break. Shows are a little shorter. I think people like that. What do I have to say? Tomorrow, Veterans Day. Again, thank you, veterans. Thank you so much. You know, everybody is riled up right now because of so many different things. A little economic distress, a little pandemic distress, all kinds of things going on. And think of the veterans. Think of the people that served and the people that are serving. And why are they doing it? Why are they doing it? They are doing it to provide security for you and for me so that we can do what we do. And we don't always agree, and we don't agree on things, facts, all kinds of stuff. We don't agree. But what we can agree on, like, you know, by the way, what I'm about to say, there's a couple percent that don't agree with this. But I would say 98% agree that our country is united by the people who serve it and our veterans, some of which whose families and who have given it all, deserve our respect, and we love them. And simple as that. And if we can agree on that, then the rest can be easy. Simple as that. You can follow me on Twitter, at WFO Joe. That's where you see Lamborghini video that has gone so crazy. My local Channel 7, the same Channel 7 that refused to show NHRA drag racing, but then acquiesced to my demands. After a couple of intimidating tweets, they started carrying NHRA drag racing live towards the tail end of the year. I'm taking full credit for that. You may not know about it. That's fine. But it was Costello who delivered the Miami market on WSVN 7 Fox. So just keep that one in mind. And they don't notice a Lamborghini going through 4 feet of water. It's going underwater like James Bond. That's pretty crazy. You can also send me an email, joe at wforadio.com. Thoughts, ideas, concepts for the winter break. The Ignition Show is in the archive. You can definitely listen to that. We're going to have a lot of fun on the Ignition Show. All kinds of listening content for you. And in the meantime, that's it. I'm gonna get up on out of here. Simple as that. Let's see what else. A couple final comments. Hey, it's Sam. Hi, Sam. Yeah, for whatever reason, your name doesn't ever come up because you're a Facebook user. Good luck with the show. Thank you very much for helping push this thing forward. NHRA drag racing. We need to create a million more fans. Benchmarks and goals. What would be great for NHRA drag racing? We need to create a million more fans. Can we do it? I think we can. First of all, with all the fans that love the sport right now. That's number one. But number two, by shaking our fist at the ones that are, you know, down in the dumps. Like Brian Lones did in his recent National Dragster column. Way to go, Brian. Way to get on board. Everybody remembers it was last year I started hashtag punch in the face for these people who are constantly negative Nancys. No, no. It's not exactly like I wanted. We'll get them. Don't worry. Everybody's coming on board now. Thanks for the love. We appreciate it. Good luck, guys. Monica, that video was crazy. Yeah, it was a crazy video. Lamborghini going through 4 feet of water. See you later. I like that. Yes. All right, folks. Thanks to Alan Reinhart. Thanks to you for checking in. Happy Marine Corps birthday. Enjoy your week. And we'll be back. Like, who's going to be on tomorrow? I have no idea. A lot of racers going out of town. A lot of racers taking a little time off. But we are going to try to pull it together and put out a couple of shows a week, at the very least during this winter break. Can I use that hashtag tonight? What? Hashtag punch in the face for all the negatives? Yes. Just a tribute. You can use whatever you want. Just a tribute. And that's that. All right, everybody. We'll see you next time right here on WFO Radio. Thanks, Alan.
WFO!
I love WFO Radio.
Subscribe to WFO Radio on iTunes. Never miss a show. And don't forget to write a review. WFO.